Take a deep breath and be ready for this. Do you know that since the Second World War, this year, 2025, is the bloodiest year? Do you know that more than 60 armed conflicts are going on all over the world in 36 plus countries? 36 plus countries are, as we speak, either having wars, conflicts, genocides, civil riots, and whatnot. The most disturbed territory is Africa, and the biggest scene has been Russia-Ukraine and the genocide of Palestinian people in Gaza. And this is different from the past. In the past, even during the World Wars, 1 and 2, both, people didn't realize the enormity of those wars until much later. They kept on realizing it. We keep on realizing it until now through more records, through more scripts and books and whatnot. But this one is going on in real time. We all have access to the live streams happening from these places. But the wars haven't stopped. They're not stopping. And actually it's getting worse. From all the angles, as much as you think of it, it seems that there are going to be more and more wars. This poses a great question before us. All the development, all the peace, all the bodies that we created, United Nations, International Monetary Fund, World Trade Organization, all that we created so that this does not get repeated. None of this worked. So world politics has failed us. Humans need to get in touch with their human nature. That's what we need. We need to connect with the land. We need to really stay grounded and really touch the earth with our bare feet, bare hands, bare bodies. This is where the energy comes, not by hanging up somewhere in the air, but being grounded to the earth. When you are in touch with your land, when you are in touch with your community, when you touch other people, when you play with them, when you dance with them, when you have fun with them, when you're not just improving and creating all the time, obsessing over me, mine, but you're sharing, you know, you're really eating together, doing all of that, living in a community, then you begin to realize how little you need. Actually, all these things are missing in your life, and you are trying to fill this gap by overshopping, you know, overthinking, and overimproving yourself. But coming back to your true nature, coming back in your body, coming back in your senses, in your mind, in your community, in your land, you realize that the desires that are produced in the research labs for people like us do not touch us so easily. Right now, your dreams, your desires are manufactured in research labs. Companies are studying all of us. They're studying us. So if we are rooted, grounded in ourselves, in our true nature, in our human nature, then we can just watch it and not get affected by it. But if you're not connected, yes, I think that's what is going to make me happy. That's the next thing that will make me happy. We don't have time or intention to really dig deeper and realize this wheel of desire that never stops. And the world's leaders have failed us. In fact, we have come to a point where people like Trump are nominated for Nobel Peace Prize, and Netanyahu is praised for his courage. It's not about taking sides, but just think about it. How could a community which was being exterminated, which was being annihilated just less than a century ago, is hell-bent on doing that to another community? For whatever reason. Who's right, who's wrong, I don't give a damn right now. What's right and what's wrong changes. And violence only breeds more violence. So, if you can even have the openness to just listen, rather than picking a side immediately, In fact, the system, the society, the way it is created, it wants us to pick a side all the time. It doesn't want us to have a balanced perspective, a humanitarian perspective. How is it that people in Tel Aviv, they can enjoy at the beach, by the seaside, play their beach volleyball, drink their beers and just have fun, while just 60 kilometers from them is the Gaza Strip? There is one thing to have an ideology, have a reason to kill or have wars, that's how wars have happened always, but it's another thing to do it shamelessly. There are kids who will be in a couple of years or in a few months ready to go to the army for the mandatory service, and they're eager to go and kill Palestinian kids because those kids will become terrorists, and so they're ready and eager to go and kill them. And that seems like a solution. Anyway, I don't want to just stay on that. But how come the whole world, all the countries, what are they doing? Every country is focused on, with a few exceptions, is only looking for national interest. And why wouldn't they? If there's a war, they want to sell guns. They want to give intelligence. Whatever. The wars keep on perpetuating. That's just one angle of what I'm going to talk about today. We took news, we took information about world, all the events in the world, through traditional mainstream media. And now we're finding out who this traditional media is working for. What narrative are they trying to sell to us? And thanks to some of the independent journalists, thanks to social media, that we got to know deeper truths about these things. And so you cannot trust the news, the mainstream news, you cannot trust world politics, and you cannot trust the richest people in the world. They claim that they're working for the future of humanity while trampling on the present of humanity. And then all the rich people will blame the poor for being lazy and unmotivated. This makes us ask this question, doesn't it? Like, what is the ideal of the society? This century, what is the dreams? What are the desires and dreams and aspirations of our society? More material success, more money, more power. Power, greed, corruption, only that. Everybody wants to have more of that. Me, mine, hoarding, and every individual is asked to go that route. Every collective, every community, every country, every small nation, states, they're all going through that route. And what does it do? When you have this ideal of just material pursuits, as if the material pursuits will make your life... I mean, we have had all the gains that we could have had in the last 80 years. And yet, there is more desperation, more depression, more anxiety, more and more lifestyle diseases, and more mental diseases. Because the modern way of working, and again, a lot of people, the moment they hear about this, they're like, oh my God, this generation, they don't want to work, we just want to work. Shut up. You have never the patience to listen to the whole video, listen to what I'm saying. You just hear a line and you get triggered. Get out of here right away, you know? Get out of here. But listen, those who are staying, the modern work, it isolates us. It isolates us from our communities, from our land, from our people, from our families. And then when we're all alone, it puts all the responsibility on us to excel, to succeed, to be inventive, to be innovative, to be all-rounded, well-balanced in a community, in a society, in a system which only worships profit and greed. And when you cannot do that, it blames you for that. It blames you for being unable, or not working hard, or not working smart, or not working your ass off, and not working all the time. Something is wrong with you if you don't want to work all the time. And I'm going to give you some examples. What's happening? Japanese people. I used to have interns from Japan. Their shirts will have holes. They will not care about how they are dressed, but they will work all the time in my office. All the time. And what's happening now to Japanese people? They have no desire for work anymore. No desire for sex. No desire for family. Everything is just so introverted, completely desireless, and no desire to have babies. So what's going to happen in 100 years to Japanese culture, population, everything, when there are no Japanese left? A lot of people are praising on internet, look at Japanese people, they are giving up work. They're not giving up work, they're giving up on life. I have some Japanese people who listen to these videos. I would like you to comment on what do you observe in your culture. Take the example of Spain, one of my favorite countries. I've been there so many times. I've done El Camino de Santiago 2 times, I think. And I've roamed around in the countryside in so many places. Siesta is sacred. That's what they believe in, or they used to believe in. But now siesta is just reduced to smaller and smaller and smaller towns. In cities like Madrid and Barcelona, there is no siesta. You either follow the American dream or you perish. Even the Spanish companies, they will hire the migrants, let's say, for example, from Romania, because they left their country, they want to work, so of course they will hire them, and they will work their asses off because they need to send money home and all that. And I'm not blaming anybody, that's how the system is. So when I say the system is this way, you are somehow sucked into its ways of working. But just for us to talk about it and realize that they will not hire Spanish people. And this was told to me by my Spanish travel guide when I was in Madrid. So that's just an anecdote. That they prefer to hire those people because Spanish people would like to spend more time with family, with friends, socialize. That's what I noticed both in Spain, in Italy, in Portugal, in Greece. People love to spend time with their families, you know. People loved to have siesta when they would just go home and maybe sleep for a bit and have lunch and spend some time with their family, come back to work in the evening again. Why leave that rhythm? But anyway, that's going, and who knows where it will go in a few decades. And what's happening in India? All the people who came from beautiful lands like these, they're all going to the prison hells of Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, and within 2-3 years, they start to get all kind of mental and physical diseases that are linked to isolation, that are linked to loneliness, that are linked to not living a natural life. And yet, everybody is so proud. Look, my son, my grandson, my daughter is there working with this company. That's the thing for prestige. At what cost? At what cost? Why does the whole world need to follow the same model? Anyway, I'm going to get to the depth of it as much as I can go today with this video. So hang on. But contemplate with me, not just sit and consume this as another piece of entertainment. So much information you're taking in, reflect on it. I'm sure most of you are doing it, but I'm telling those who don't, who are quick to react and respond to every piece of information or knowledge that they get their hands on, and then they just go on living their miserable personal lives. I saw a comment on my recent video where one guy said that he's in London, he's been working in London for a while, he has his BMW, he has a good house, but now he misses his parents, his land, I think he said South Africa. And he wants to spend time with his parents, very similar to my story in Romania. And he feels like he's not getting satisfied with his possessions and he wants to go back. A lot of good comments came to that, but someone commented, please give your BMW to me, I for sure will be very happy with that. Okay, you can take that comment lightly and it's okay, but this is how most of the people's psychology is. No matter how much you try to wake them up, they will still think that a BMW will make them happy. Yes, a comfortable car will keep you comfortable for a long time, but a BMW for sure will make me happy. Good luck. The guy with BMW is saying that he's not happy. Anyway, in these countries with their traditions, with their cultures, with their festivals and, you know, a balance and living with nature, living in harmony, all of this they have to let go in order to compete with the US, China, and some of these countries. And I was having a conversation with a German friend of mine some time ago, and she was very much under pressure for career, for life in general. You know, panic attacks will happen, a lot of pressure will come, a lot of anxiety, even depression. And I asked her, like, what happens if she loses her job? And she says, and I asked her, like, can she find another job? And she said, yes, with her skills, she will find a new job. And I said, what happens if you are pregnant? Will you get, like, enough holidays for that? They're like, yeah, I will. Yeah, will you get paid for it? Yes, I will. Germany, yeah? I asked her, what happens if you have children? The state pays 250 euros per month per child. Okay. What happens if you get sick, have like some chronic terminal disease? Like, what happens? Well, insurance covers it. So why the hell are you so depressed and so sad and angry and having panic attacks and all that? Figures out that she needs to do something special, something that puts her apart from the rest of her peer group, because everybody is somebody around her and she needs to be somebody. So that kind of pressure is purely narcissistic. The whole 21st century is purely narcissistic, only thinking about themselves, only thinking about, and that's causing all the trouble as well. So it's not like you get something out of it. You burn with the fire of your desires. I mean, come to non-Western cultures, go to non-Western countries and see that the lack of material resources does not really mean that your happiness will be diminished. You'll find a lot of happy communities, happy people, even if they have not much in terms of material possessions. That's not the necessary condition to be happy in life, to be content in life. And that model, we have chased that model for so long. I mean, how much do we want to, like, why the hell are we giving away our lives like that? How much we want to, I said I will calm down. How much do we want to produce? How much more efficient do we want to become? You know, how much more do we want to improve? How much? And to what end? There is enough. We just need to know how to distribute it well. I mean, you put the wealth and resources in the hands of the few, and you put most of the wealth and resources in the hands of the few, and you let the most other people fight for the remaining, and you give them enough, but not too much, and also not keep them hungry, so they don't get angry. And then you keep the system going on, keep on telling them to aspire to become like them, while it is increasingly impossible. People cannot own homes anymore, in Western countries as well included. Everything is just super expensive, and everything is in the hands of the rich people. And the rich people, except like a very, very, very few people you can count in your hands, they just want to have more and more and more for themselves, for their families. There is a kind of crazy fire, perhaps, that ignites within them that they cannot really think holistically. They just go on doing what they've been doing. And where someone was saying a trillion is 1,000 times a million or more. I don't even know how much that is. That much someone will be worth very soon. And yet we are thinking we need more. No, we just need to redistribute it properly. And I'm not talking about socialism or communism here. I think it's beyond any ism, any political ideology. We need a different kind of devolution here, and I've talked about this before as well. I mean, think about it. Why do you have to really eat so much and eat all kind of varieties? Why do you have to buy so much? Why do you have to have 100 pairs of shoes, 100 pairs of shirts, 100 pairs of clothes? Why do you need to have 4 different kind of cars? For what end? And I'm gonna tell you this also from the neuroscience perspective. Just if you are patient enough. It's like when you see it, you cannot unsee it. When you don't see it, you think I'm crazy. You think I'm talking against work. You think I'm talking against productivity. No, I'm not. I've maintained for so long in so many videos that, in so many of my talks, that work needs to be done. Work has to be done. This is the land of karma. You always have to work. But the nature of work, the quality of work, how much to work, and all that I'm talking about, okay? And to what end? And with what trade-off do we work? Now, let me bring in the neuroscience perspective. We have just simply oversimplifying it, we have just two equally distributed parts of the brain, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. The body is cross-wired, so the left hemisphere will guide the right part of my body, and the right hemisphere will guide the left part of my body. Same goes with the eyes. The left hemisphere will guide the right side of my eye, and the right one to the left. So the body is cross-wired. So doing this, crossing your legs, is actually calming you, relaxing you, and bringing you to balance. But the modern society is completely left-brained. It's just logic, me, rational, reason, that is all there is. And not being able to see the big picture, not being able to see anything beyond what is there in the moment. And always comparing, always competing, always struggling, always fighting, all that is going on the left side. And that's how people, communities, companies, countries, unions, all of them, continents, all of them are working like that. But the right brain is fully present here in the now. The right brain doesn't even know or doesn't even care if I am or I am not, if I exist as a separate entity or not. The right brain is all about love, companionship, togetherness, creativity, the flavor of life, a big spatial awareness of life. While the left is just so focused. Left is more like a spotlight awareness, right is more like a floodlight awareness. And this floodlight awareness, like I've said it before, look around me. This is the floodlight awareness, right? And how beautiful it is just to just focus on that for a moment. But again, the pinpoint focus on one thing causes all the trouble. Not being able to switch. I'm not saying to not be left anymore. Without left, it will be very hard to survive. But to have a balance between your left and right side of the brain. To don't listen to the stories that the left side is saying. You know, all the stories that is making about things, most of the times are wrong and completely made up. Anyway, this is Kali Yuga. The Hindu scriptures have said it thousands and thousands of years ago, that the universe moves in cycle, and the last, the most horrible cycle is Kali Yuga, the eon of the era of Kali, the dark energies, the divide between rich and poor keeps on increasing, the morality is completely thrown away, greed, violence, selfishness is at its peak. But with the advent of Kali Yuga, we also know that next will be Satyuga, the era of truth, the era of honesty and integrity. So we need to choose to lead the way, or to just watch it, or to just ignore it, like most people, just become insensitive to it. As a spiritual person, because everything is the way it is, what do? You still do things, right? You just sit and watch it and tell me that Hitesh, you're being too serious, it's all an illusion. Well, I know it very well. But tell the people whose kids are being killed that it's an illusion. Why wouldn't anybody want to help them if they can? So, in my definition, in my heart, being awakened is a responsibility, is not a release, and it doesn't take away from, it doesn't mean that you can close your eyes. If you can be close your eyes and be content, I wish you all the contentment and happiness. But no lotus grows without mud, and there is a lot of mud around, so the lotus needs to grow. And yeah, let's just pick a side. Which side of humanity do we want to be? Which side of history do we want to be? I'm going to talk about in one of the videos, I'm going to talk about the three choices the awakened people have. But maybe this one will be too long, so I will stop here. Yeah. Is it not possible to be concerned about things, to care for things, and yet be able to completely be flooded by this beauty and be awed by it? That if you're awed by it, you have to just ignore all the things that are going on and say, oh my God, you're still stuck in this duality. Why not? You're a human being. You're a whole human being. You're supposed to go through all the emotions. Just that you need to know that these are arising in you and disappearing in you, but you can participate in it. And every age has its need from the human beings. So what was needed some time ago does not mean that the same thing is needed now. Buddha did what he had to do in his time. Jesus did what he had to do in his time. What is our time? What does society need? What is our work? You know, the followers don't get it because they're just busy following. Be a thinker, be a feeler, not a follower. Be a student. And then perhaps you can, again, you might not want to do that. Something in you will stop you from doing that because perhaps you're not ready for it. If you become aware to all the mess within and all the mess without, perhaps all the illusion will be broken, all your desires will be dead, all your dreams will be shattered, and you'll be completely out in the dark, and you don't want to be there, so you just want to enjoy your BMW. I wish you all the best. Signing out.